Today's title is Grow by Addition. This is personal growth. Second Peter 1, and we will add verse 5 to the mix, but I will start at verse 3. His divine power has given to us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. I want to preface this to say that where faith is, there is life, and where life is, there must be growth. If you're alive, you must be growing. Okay? If we can understand that and recognize that, spiritual realities are different than physical realities. Just because you are a spiritual person does not necessarily mean that you are growing spiritually. In the physical realm, we grow spiritually. Okay? Or in the physical realm, we grow physically. Excuse me. Because that's just going to happen. We start off as a little child, an infant. We grow up a little bit. We get out of diapers. We start walking, doing for ourselves. We learn to speak. We learn manners. We learn how to share. We learn all kinds of things on the way in our physical reality, which isn't an example to us in our spiritual realities and in our truths. And if we can accept that as truth, and it is, we can understand that our spiritual growth is not automatic. It must come when we participate with the Holy Spirit or cooperate with Him, and by applying discipline to what He teaches us through our obedience to the truth that allows God to work in us. And that's according to Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Because faith is so valuable to God, it should be valuable to us, because it's His desire for His people to grow. He wants us to participate, not only to have His Spirit, but to have His nature flowing in us and through us. And for us as being spiritual people, we must understand that God freely imparts to us as we ask by faith, so that we can escape the corruption of this world by eliminating the evil desires or suppressing them in a way that the Spirit rules and not our carnality. And so God has been saying to us that we all must start to go deeper. God is drawing us to deeper waters. He's drawing us to deeper experiences. He's drawing us deeper by faith. But how do we grow? Simply, we've got to add to. We've got to add something that's already in us, but we, by adding it, it becomes part of us. And we understand by faith, it's more, the more we use faith, the more pleasing we become. And it's nothing more pleasing to God than when He sees His kids walking and reaching outwardly by faith. He doesn't want us stagnant. He doesn't want us inhibited. He wants us to begin to start walking this thing out in faith. Why? Because there's a lot of pretenders out in the world that have a form of godliness that is ready to pilfer and destroy our precious faith. And we're going to see that later on as we continue in Peter to understand that the world is not our friend, and there are those who are in the church that are not our friends either. They're only going to come and be a part of us so that they can get from us to meet their appetites and their wants and their desires. God wants us to understand that if we can grab a hold of this faith, take our saving faith, and begin to extend it outwardly, and most of us that are in roots are understanding this more and more, that it all starts with character building. And God wants to add to us goodness. He wants us to add this goodness to us. Why? I thought Dan was going to start preaching my message. Because God's good. That is who God is. That's who our Father is. And He wants us to be a direct reflection of Him in every manner. Every manner. Now the word translated diligence gives us a meaning to lavish upon or to spare no expense. How can one spare no expense or lavish upon faith? Faith is something we exercise. But to lavish, to put all kind of diligence into something is we need to understand that to add goodness to us, we need to spare no expense to make that part of our life. That's how precious our faith is. And how precious it is for the goodness of God. The word add is epikurago, which means where we get our words chorus or choreography. And it has an old meaning that it used to ascribe or describe the Christian character of generosity while in service to either the king, his kingdom, or to the body of Christ. Generosity. In the ancient days, they used to call a person of great wealth who was very generous, curios. And what this person did, we would call them today a philanthropist, who would give monies to the arts or to whatever. But this person would actually pay for the singers and the elaborate productions of things so that there would be entertainment, either to royalty or to the public at large or whatever. These people spent their money and lavished it upon so that people could enjoy the arts in a different way. How many of you have seen the movie, The Story of Baron Munchausen? I mean, it's a great movie. I mean, I laugh all the way through it. But the thing about it is, the Lord reminded me, is the elaboracy of the artwork. It takes place in a opera house, and this guy is a person who has an elaborate story that when you're going through it, it's like, man, this can't be true. This just can't happen. And at the end, you find out every word that he said was true. You kind of think that he lavished and embellished his story, but there wasn't anything because he had collaboration from others who were parts of that story. And so, in order for us to add this, we must lavish upon our generosity. Now, in America, it's real easy. We can be generous with our money and our time and our things and stuff when we have them. But what about in our poverty? Are we generous in our poverty? Well, Pastor, you know, I do this, and this for them. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. We should be doing that. But you see, God tells us to be generous with somebody first, to exhibit His goodness, and that's God. Are we generous with God? Jesus told us that, you know, God is so good that He causes the rain to fall on the just and unjust. He causes the air conditioner to fall on the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to rise and shine on the just and unjust. That's how good God is. He doesn't pick and choose. He just reveals how good He is by what He does. And our Father is not poor. Our Father owns everything. And it's just His nature to keep giving. But are we generous? Do we reveal how generous God is? Turn to Exodus 33. I want you to see some stuff here. Exodus 33, verses 17 through 19. Are we there? I'm trying to find my water. Thank you. And let's start at verse 15. It says, "Then Moses said to him, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us out from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this very thing for you and have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your presence. Show me your goodness. God, show me how good you are. Now the story is that Moses wanted to see God's glory. He wanted to see God's goodness. He wanted to see God in his perfect presence. We know the scripture says no flesh shall see God, no flesh shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so God said to him, because of your faith, because now you're stepping out in faith and believing how good I am, and you're asking me to show you just how good I am by my presence, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what you asked me to do, except I'm going to do something else. And we know that he put Moses in the cleft of the rock, he put his hand over it, and he passed by. And Moses looked out and saw the Lord from behind. Can you imagine the glory of God in its intensity, in its lavishness, in its not sparing any expense to reveal to Moses how awesome God is? If God just walked past, he would incinerate us. That's how good God is. His goodness is so good that if he come into the building would incinerate. We would be incinerated. And God says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to put my hand over you because I love you so much. But I am so pleased. He was pleased. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Moses pleased God by what he asked him by faith, and God did it for him. Psalms 23:6 states that the goodness of God will follow us as we reach out ahead. Let's take a look at that. Psalm 23:6. And we all should know this. Our kids should know this. This is, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and love will follow me. You have to believe God's going is so good that he's going to bring you to a place where he's going to take care of you. And sometimes what happens is we're so fast to tell God what we don't have that we fail to ask God to meet our needs and manifest those needs. And for us to operate in a way, we have to understand paths of righteousness. He is not going to reward your junk when you're not in position. And remember I said that this is a positional thing. This is not a thing that it's Jesus plus. We must be in Jesus to receive these benefits that he's talking about. If we are not in position, we are not in position to receive. Right? And God is still generous, but he wants to bless us so much so that he shows a difference between the world and his people. Amen? So if we reach out in faith, he says that he will bless us. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20, says, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men, on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In the dwelling, you keep them safe from the strife of tongues. God protects it. God wants us to understand that in this protection, if we are walking in the ways that is pleasing to Him, He will protect it. He says, in the shelter of your presence you hide them. To those who fear Him. Do you fear God? Are you in awe of God? Or is it just, well, God, I'm in need here. I'm your kid. Take care of it. Or you like me, God, I'm in really need. But I believe that you can meet those needs of so-and-so. If you want to use me for that, whatever I have is yours. You see, this teaching that's coming forth here about God's goodness is nothing more than this. It's nothing more. Romans 11:22 warns us not to take God's goodness for granted, but to continue in it. Let's look at it. Romans 11:22 says, consider therefore the kindness or goodness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but goodness to you. Provided that you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. You see, God will honor our simple faith and we can walk in His goodness. But the moment we forget about Him and start turning away, and we do that repeatedly, like Israel did, the cycle of Israel, you know, God, our enemies are beating up on us. God comes in, delivers them. They remember God. Then all of a sudden they start getting tempted by the world and then they start falling away. Eventually God's going to cut you loose because He's not going to be there for the abuse. He expects us to be His children and part of His family. If you don't want to be part of His family, but you want the benefits of His family, then you need to not take for granted what God has placed for us. We need to add this goodness to us. We need to add goodness to us. Faith and goodness are like this. They work side by side. I have faith and I have goodness. And my faith is trusting God implicitly. I trust God so much that I don't have to worry about my needs. Now what happens is I'm looking to bless somebody else. But my Bible tells me also that seek ye first the kingdom of God. We should be blessing God first. We should be blessing God. Doesn't He tell us in Malachi? He says, you know, if you do these things, you can take this guarantee to the bank that I'm going to pour out a blessing so great that you will not be able to contain it. Does He not say that? But we cheat Him. Here's $5. I got to meet my bills this week. God, sorry, there's nothing there. And believe me, I've done that. When I was young in the Lord, I did that. But as I learned, and the Spirit corrected me, and I know to do good. And the Bible says, if you know to do good and you do not, that is sin. We need to be generous. Generously give to God. You know, we've been operating with the tithe issues in here, but do you understand that God requires much more? And the reason why you don't have is because we have not done first principles. Those who have and understood first principles do. And their lives are changing. All of a sudden they become more gratuitous. They're looking to bless others. It becomes infectious within our hearts because we're no longer looking out for our own needs. We're looking to the needs of someone else. Why? Because we want to reveal God to them. We want to reveal the love of God to them. And how are they going to know the love of God if we're not loving God? You see, our offerings to Him is a sign of our love. It's a sign of our worship. It's a sign of our trust. But do we give? Turn to Luke 6. I mean, it's a lot of scripture, and I'm trying to give you a foundation here to understanding about how important it is to add goodness to your life. Luke 6 says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Good measure. God's good measure. But you don't understand, Pastor. I have these needs. I've been there, done that. Argued with God. Told him my needs. And he told me I didn't have faith. And of course, being the type of person I am, I argued with him some more. Trying to convince God that he was wrong. I was trying to convince him that, you know, I got to pay my bills. Not realizing that God wanted to teach me, in spite of that, to expand my faith, to exercise my faith, to add something to me. Now, some people are gifted. They're generous by the gifting that God has given to them. I want you to understand this is not what that is talking about in us being revealing the goodness to us. That is a natural goodness that is inherent to people. I'm talking about a goodness that when somebody comes up to you and you've got $20 and they need 20 bucks, what do you do? And you've all heard this story. I told you about this fellow that asked me, you know, for a couple dollars to go buy a cup of coffee, and he was kind of like one of these weirdos. And I'm like, no, not doing that. And I go and I buy my stuff at Wawa, and I go in the truck, and I'm no more than at the parking lot, and I have the Holy Spirit convicting me. Why didn't you bless him? And I started rationalizing. And then I started turning his vehicle around. And I went back to Wawa, but the individual wasn't there. And I repented to the Lord that I would not do that again. And every chance that someone has come, and we see to add knowledge or wisdom, you have to not just indiscriminately be generous to people, but you need the wisdom of God in order to bless them properly. And we'll cover that next week. But being generous is our Father, and He wants His children to be generous. And I have to say that on the most part, our people are generous. Our people give out of the abundance of their hearts, even out of the abundance of their poverty. Our people give. Karen serving, you know, is a wonderful thing. You know, Nolan doing odd and end things around to help others. You know, babysitting. You know, Lou and Dory. You know, these are things that we're talking about. Goodness. It's not monetary. It's being generous. Period. Whatever that need is, to be generous to reveal God to them. I want you to turn to first. Let's go to 2 Kings because these guys are flashing. But I want to give you another scripture to look at in your leisure, and that's 1 Kings 17 verses 1 through 16. 1 Kings 17. That's not where we're turning. I want us to go to 2 Kings 4. But 1 Kings 1:16, you can look at in your leisure, but 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. We there? "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditors is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.'" And in those days, what happened was if you didn't have the money to pay off, they put you into debtor's slavery, debtor's service. And you worked off what you owed. And that, for as many years as it took, that's how long you stayed as a slave to that person. "And Elijah replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' And she replied and said, your servant has nothing at all except a little oil. And Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it aside. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were filled, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. And she went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left over. I think it's real easy to see the example here. At least for me it is. We have nothing. We have nothing. She had nothing. We have nothing. And isn't that our first response? When the man of God says, so, tell me, how can I serve you? What is it I can do for you? I don't know. I've done everything. I just don't know what to do. And the man of God says, do this. And we don't do it. Who suffers? God suffers. God suffers. Why? Because he wants to send his word throughout the world to perform it, to show himself strong to those who love him. I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but we get the gist. God suffers. God is in the business of revealing himself to the heathen. He wants the heathen to get saved. And his people don't even have enough faith to believe. But here was one woman whose husband was a prophet. And she went to the prophet and he told her what to do. And she had enough faith that she ran around town getting up all the jars, getting everything put up together. And they shut the door. And they poured oil and filled up every container. Can you imagine going to everybody in town? Give me your buckets. Give me your jars. Give me this. Give me that. You know? And then you shut the door and your house is stockpiled with jars. Unbelievable. And now you're filling it up with oil. Oil symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The house was filled with the Spirit of God. The house was filled with the Spirit of God. And then she says, okay, I did all this. I did what you told me to do. Now what do you want me to do? Sell it. Oh, that's a brain. Sell it. Who's going to buy the oil? If you can believe the man of God, that he hears from God, you can believe God. If you can extend your faith to believe God and trust him to meet your needs, because her needs was her kids were going to get sold into slavery for the debts of her husband. And her too. Not only did she sell the oil and make money to pay all the debts off, in the Hebrew it says here that go and live off the rest. She was in retirement for the rest of her life. She didn't have to want for anything. God lavishes his goodness. If we are obedient to what he tells us to do, if we extend our faith and give, God doesn't suffer. And he doesn't want us to suffer. He wants to lavish his goodness on us. Elijah was lavishing the goodness of God upon the woman and her children because God doesn't want his people in slavery. We need to cultivate that. We need to cultivate what God has put into us and give it away. And if God tells us to go sell something, there's a reason for it. But the fact of the matter is that he promises us he'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never have us lacking anything. We lack because we are disobedient. But in God, there is no lack. He tells us everything that pertains to life and godliness is found in our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything. Sicknesses. You need your sicknesses healed? God can do it. Be obedient to do what He tells you to do. You need your finances squared away? Be obedient to what God says to do. Need transportation? Be obedient to what God tells you to do. Be obedient. Extend your faith. Believe God what you hear and be obedient and watch what God does. And because of it, His goodness will shine forth from you, because don't ask Him for something just for yourself. Ask it to meet somebody else's need. And God will reveal Himself strong and mighty in your life. And people are going to go, how the heck? I don't know how. You guys were having all this problem, and then all of a sudden, what happened? I'm glad you asked. See, God said, and you let your testimony go. You let it fly and share what God has done. They did not care about their lives unto death. They overcame the adversary by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, what He did and what He's doing. See, it's not about us. And we have to radically change the way we think about things in order to glorify God. You see, He's in the business of blessing His people as they're in the business of doing what He's told them to do, and that is take the gospel out there. Hopefully this helps you a little bit in seeing that, you know what, for us to go deeper, it's going to require more of us. All of us. You know, being good and revealing God's goodness and lavishing it on the people may not be an issue for you. Continue to do what God tells you to do in that. Be generous to God. Be generous to God's people. Be generous to those who do not know Jesus Christ the way we do, so that they can come to know Him. And God will receive all the glory and praise. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You. I thank You that Your word is so clear and so concise. And Father, I pray that I was able to articulate today. Lord, we need Your goodness. We need to have Your goodness flowing through. I need it, God. I need to exhibit more of Your goodness, God. God, I ask today, God, that You cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God, that we may stand in position. That we, Father, would grow up into all things and become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That God, that it's not enough, God, to know the principles of the kingdom. It's not enough to understand the word, God. It is not enough. And my worth is not based on what I have, God. It's based on who I know, and that is You, Lord. God, may I ever and continue run to You, God, for every one of my needs. May I be ever obedient, God, that as You speak direction into my life, that I would be quick to implement once I have understanding. God, I pray for Your people today, Lord, that they too would want that in their hearts. To bless You richly, God. Because in blessing You, You will bless us to bless others. Father, we can't outgive You. We know that. But we can start to give even out of our need. Because You will meet our needs, God. And I thank You. Because that is a sure word. So God, as we go forth in this day, I ask You bless Your people richly. In Jesus' name. Amen.